Mental mechanic. This is a takeoff on Stefan's practitioner letter. That'll be in the February gist. Mental mechanic. We're all talking about treatment. We're all talking about having results from our prayer treatment and our desire to have things happen in our life. And we think, oh, if it's some saint would just touch my life, if some miracle would just happen to me and allow me to be all that I can be, to show me the path of my spiritual awareness and, you know, let me feel just fantastic. If somebody just touch us, you know, just touch us and thank you. And just make us arise into that spiritual awareness. And it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. If you are ever spiritually illumined by somebody else, you will be short illumined because when they're gone, they take their illumination with them. And if you hadn't had it because of something within yourself, you will be empty again. So it pays to learn how to develop a spiritual illumination from within yourself, to like yourself, to appreciate yourself, and to know the mental mechanics involved in it. And the mental mechanics are very simple. Again, in the article that Stefan wrote about Irene and how she was so madly in love with the dogs and the cats and the children and her car. And every time she would go back and see her car, it would have a black eye. And she'd have to spend time with it, nursing it back to health. You did that several times, didn't you?
Twice.
That's several. Mm-hmm. So she did it twice. And each time, a miracle took place. Each time, the car got up and said, thank you, I'm so glad you're back. Holy cow, don't stay away so long next time. And it really responded to her because she responded to it. Now, did she put a better grade of gas in the car? And did she put a better grade of oil in the car, or any oil? Did she check the water? Did she vacuum the seats, or did she polish the exterior? No, she did those things after she first loved the car. She went up to the car and says, "It's so nice to see you again." She talked to the car just as though it were an old friend that she'd been away from for a while. And she gave this love to it, and the car responded with that love. I told you about the car that I drove into United Church of Religious Science, and I was supposed to be speaking, and it started to bumble on the way from Newport Beach to Los Angeles, and it just didn't want to go. And I said, "Come on, you got to go. I got to speak this morning. I got to be there on time." And then, poof, boom, little smoke and flame, and then it went. And when we got there, I took it to the garage next door to the church, and when I came out after the meeting in the morning, I went to the garage man. He said, "All of your wires had melted together." Well, now, when all your wires melt together, it should really blow up. It should, you know, stop. It should short circuit itself. But what it did was it just went beautifully. We do, and we can speak our word, and we can claim the truth for ourselves with mechanical things, with human things, with animal things, with vegetable things, with mineral things. It doesn't make any difference. But if we don't believe it, then it makes a big difference. And if we don't believe that we can speak our word, we do not get results. Because the results are in our mind that we do not get the work. We do not get the results. You can say, "I now have a beautiful Miata." And then days go by, and weeks go by, and months go by, and years go by, and you don't have a Miata. Basically, because you think, "I don't have a Miata." When you look in the garage and you don't see a Miata, you say, "I don't have a Miata." I mean, yes, that's perfectly logical. And you look in front of your house and you don't see a Miata parked out there. And you drive in some other vehicle, wherever you're going, and it's not a Miata. So you have every reason to believe you don't have a Miata. But when you begin recognizing that you do have a Miata, and you're driving the Miata, and you're enjoying the Miata, and wherever you go, the Miata is there to give you pleasure, and you just see the Miata. And hey, look, when you buy a Volkswagen, you look around you, and you see everybody bought a Volkswagen. Everywhere you turn, there's a Volkswagen. When you buy a Miata, my goodness, I never saw Miatas before. Before I bought it, I never saw a Miata on the road, never really paid attention to it. I saw one, and I thought, hey, that's cool. But after getting the Miata, every 100th car was a Miata, and that's a lot of cars. And I went over to visit Daniel in his office, and what's parked outside? Two Miatas. One had a beautiful cover that they were putting over it, but two Miatas. And then down in the parking lot was another Miata. And I'm sure those Miatas had never been there before. They just waited till I came. But it was my consciousness. My consciousness created all of those Miatas in my life, in my experience, and it's wonderful. But we can do this. We create what we want. Now, as Stefan pointed out in the article, he said, we return to our original purity and integrity. Now, we don't return to our original purity and integrity because we're not there. We return in our thinking to it. We return in our awareness to it. We return in our belief that it is there and it does exist and we can experience it. But we cannot experience it if we do not have it in our consciousness. I gave you the illustration. We walk down the street and there are hundreds of people going about us and we don't see anybody. We're just walking down the street going where we're going. And then all of a sudden, your mother happens to walk by a couple of people away. Hi, Mom, what are you doing down here? You know, we see her out of that tremendous number of people. We are alert to her because she's in our vibrations and we're in her vibrations. We know it. And this is true now. For instance, you might walk down the street and you might see your boss and you don't want your boss to see you. So you look the other way. You put your head in the sand like an ostrich, you know. You look the other way. You don't want your boss to see you. But of course, he sees you. You're riding in a car and you turn your head to look out the window and here this person is looking straight back in your eyes. You know, like I'm not supposed to look out the window and see that person looking in my eyes. But hey, don't reflect like that. Look at the person and say, hi. We're looking at each other for some reason. Must be we are the same beautiful people. You must be a genius too. Hey, pull over. Let's have a talk. You know, how many times do you look at a person and square in the eye and you did it on purpose for some reason and you don't know and then say, hey, let's pull over and have a cup of coffee. I'd like to know you. I mean, you must be terrific if you wanted to stare in my eyes and I want to stare in your eyes. This must be wonderful. But you see, mental mechanics. We think these thoughts, and then we should follow up on them. Now you wonder why you're not having your illumination right now. Because you're not following up on it. You stare at the person and say, hey, let's have a cup of coffee. The guy says, okay, you know. Because he probably was just as startled as you are. And then you get to know each other, and you say, hey, we can be beneficial to one another. We can be friends. We can go in business together. We can do all sorts of good stuff together. You see, when you return to original purity and integrity, you leave aside all of that stuff that makes you say, you know, I shouldn't be looking at somebody else. You know, they're not dressed, you know. I'm looking at them. Shame. But you see, it's silly. It's absolutely silly what we do. And we do it to ourselves. And we wash ourselves away from the beautiful experiences that we could have of being master. Now, we do not ever want to have someone else give us a spiritual kick. If somebody gives us a spiritual kick, we'll have the spiritual kick and we'll be a little further ahead, but we will have missed something. When you're in school and you're a brilliant child and your teacher says, hey, you should go from fourth grade to sixth grade, skip fifth grade, because you're so brilliant, the teacher cheats that child. Because that child doesn't get the fundamentals that come in the fifth grade. He doesn't get the basis of multiplication. He doesn't get the basis of division, which come in that grade. He doesn't get the basis of working together with his peers in that grade. And so he skips because he's so brilliant. Now, that's all fine and dandy if the parents and the teachers are going to recognize he's brilliant and he isn't like the other children, that he goes on and does things that the rest of them don't do. He volunteers for things where everybody else does not. If the teachers and the parents can recognize that, then it's okay. But, you see, they expect him to act as a fifth grader, and he's in sixth grade. And then they expect him to act like a sixth grader when he's in sixth grade, but he really just graduated from fourth grade. And he should have been in fifth grade. You see, we don't want to skip grades. We want to learn to say, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. Say it, say it, say it, say it, say it. Say your treatment every day. Have it be as natural as falling off a log. You want it to be so simple for you to do that you never stop and think about it. You go to the bathroom in the morning and say, I like me, I like me, I like me. And you turn the cover down, climb back in and say, I am God, God I am, I am God. You know, they should be your second nature to say these truths about yourself. You don't have to worship anybody else. You don't have to worship any guru or any teacher because there is nobody outside of yourself. You're number one. And when you begin recognizing that, then all of a sudden, all teachers of your past, present, and future, if you will, are gone. Your mother doesn't mean a thing. You love her because she's your mother. But you're not bound by her thing. Remember the pot? Remember the pot roast?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember the pot roast? Well, the pot roast was a perfect little story of how beautiful the information is we're given by our elders. The story of the pot roast is that mother was making a pot roast. And she had a beautiful roast, and she cut off about 3 or 4 inches of the pot roast. And she set it aside. She put it in there, and the roast was great. And her daughter says, Mom, that's a great roast. Oh, that tastes so good. Show me how you did. And she says, and you cut off this portion. Well, why are you cutting off that portion? The pan's big enough. Well, I cut off that portion because Mother taught me to do that, your grandma. Oh, Grandma, why did you cut it off? Well, because my grandmother, you know, my mother taught me to do it. Well, is your mother, yeah, your mother's still around. Let's go ask her. And finally they get to great-grandma, and they say, why did you cut off a portion of the pot roast, you know? And she says, well, my pan was only so big, and I had to cut it off, and I didn't have a bigger pan, and there was no buying more pans, because pans were a premium. And this is what we do to ourselves sometimes. We take advice from idiotic, asinine, unreasonable, unnecessary background. And we think it's gospel truth because it's mama and grandma and great-grandma. And they too were misled. Now, let's close our thinking today with the realization about mama, grandma, great-grandma, and so on. Can they say, I am God of themselves? Can they know they're the creator of their world? Can they say, I like me of themselves? And all of their creation? If they cannot say that, then release them. Don't put them up on a pedestal and say everything they say is what you must follow, because you didn't. Grandma said no sex before marriage, and Mama says no sex before marriage, and you come in a different generation where there's sex before, during, and after marriage, you know. And that's just the way the ball bounces. And you would not be caught dead without it. And this is just the way life is. So if you're going to go by your parents and by the rules that previous generations have made, you're going to live in quite a different world. Because if you lived in the puritanic world that we had grown up in, it would be quite different for you. And so that's why I try never to share my values with you as far as the rules of how I was brought up. I only share my values with you of be yourself and have fun and be honest at all times. And when you are, you got it made. I love you. The most effective way of meditating.